On October 29th, 1941, as Adolf Hitler picked at his ostentatiously simple vegetarian dinner and sipped his favorite fizzy mineral water, his mind raced. He could taste victory, the greatest triumph in military history. German troops had just captured almost 750,000 Soviet soldiers around the city of Kyiv, the last of a series of smashing defeats inflicted on Joseph Stalin's Red Army since the launch of Operation Barbarossa, the invasion of the Soviet Union on June 22nd. From his Spartan, bug-ridden headquarters in East Prussia, codenamed Wolfschanze, Wolf's Lair, Hitler saw the unfolding campaign as confirmation of his own genius. Only his daring and strategic vision, he believed, could have brought his nation to this precipice of victory. Soon, Germany would have a massive new empire in which to settle genetically healthy Germans while wiping out anyone or anything that stood in Hitler's way. With ideas cascading in his head, Hitler had taken to giving long monologues to hand-picked military officers and political cronies who sat obediently at his dinner table. On this night, Hitler's guests included Günther von Kluge, a Prussian-born field marshal whose military service had commenced in 1901. Von Kluge was commander of the 4th German Army, one of the most powerful forces attacking the Soviet Union. As Hitler well knew, even as the German army as a whole was winning battles, some senior commanders were worried that these victories were drawing their troops ever further into the unconquerable vastness of Russia, threatening to buckle the entire German logistical system. Major problems were appearing for the Germans on both rail and road. Since the days of Tsarist Russia, railway lines in the Soviet Union had been built with a wider gauge than those of the rest of Europe. Knowing this, the Germans had hoped to capture Soviet rail cars to keep supplies moving forward as quickly as possible. Soviet forces, however, withdrew almost all their locomotives as the Germans advanced and destroyed as much railway infrastructure as they could. Thus, the Germans were left with the laborious and time-consuming task of rebuilding the Soviet railway system to run their own trains and keep up their advance. It slowed their pace considerably. The Germans were also running short of trucks. On paper, the German army was one of the most advanced in the world. The troops that invaded Russia were carried in 600,000 motorized vehicles, but it was a motley force, drawn from across a conquered continent, and needed a wide array of tires and spare parts, to say nothing of fuel, to keep going. There were far too few German-made military-grade trucks. The backbone needed to supply large, armored breakthroughs and maintain a constant tempo of operations. As the German army struggled with both rail and road control, supplying troops scattered across a 1,000-mile front was becoming a logistical nightmare. With trains stymied and trucks scarce, the Germans were forced to take long operational pauses to allow the supply situation to be rectified. Hitler, however, did not seem concerned. Mobility, he insisted, was overrated. It's the infantryman who, when all's said, sets the tempo of operations with his legs, he informed his audience that night. He instructed them to focus on providing more and more firepower to the army to allow the German soldier to blast through any enemy, and stop worrying about moving too quickly. After all, in the choice between mobility and power, the decision is given too easily in favor of mobility.